only topic in the world becomes his girlfriend. I don't ever feel like I can get a word in about what's happening with me. Maybe this is a bad attitude for me to have, but I just get, I don't know, threatened and feel pretty worthless every time he starts liking another girl. My dad asked me if I had secret feelings for Dylan, which is seriously not the case. Dylan is just the best, and I would dropkick someone for him. But I just miss him whenever he's dating, and I don't only want to feel relevant when he's single. I'm thirsty, so I get up and go to the condiment bar. While I'm pouring some complimentary water into a plastic cup, I check out this bulletin board with tons of flyers for campus internships, a Resist poster, some phone numbers, dog walker job listing, random ads, and my face. My face is on the bulletin board. The water spills over the cup, and I don't even have the common sense or decency to immediately wipe it because that's my face on the bulletin board. What did I do? What am I wanted for? Wait. No. This isn't some police sketch or shady security camera snapshot. My face is cropped out from that picture where I smashed a snowball in Hudson's face. Is this from him? I almost call for Dylan, but I'm still speechless because there's a memo, too. Are you the boy from the post office? I feel super awkward right now, and I can't believe I'm doing this, but here we go. We talked for a few minutes at the post office on Lexington. I was the guy in the hot dog tie. You were the guy mailing stuff back to your ex-boyfriend. I loved your laugh. Wish I'd gotten your number. Want to give me a second chance here, universe? Arthur.Seuss@gmail.com. My heart races because the universe has gotta be fucking with me. I tear down the flyer from the thumbtack. That's definitely my face. This is for me. I'm supposed to find this. I just found this. This doesn't happen. Yeah, this doesn't happen. I storm back over to Dylan. This some dumb joke of yours? What? None of my jokes are dumb. Don't play stupid. Dylan reads the paper. Wait. Holy shit. Is this seriously not you? Dude, Ben, this isn't me. Dylan looks me in the eye, and he's not laughing. Where was this? Condiment bar, bulletin board. He must have known to put it up here since I was wearing that Dreamin' Bean shirt. You're welcome. Man, Samantha is going to be pissed she didn't solve this herself. Happy for you too, I'm sure. He grabs my shoulder. This is it. It's happening. You're going to reach out, right? This is amazing. Hollywood will make a movie about you two. And a Netflix spinoff about your gay children. But how? I'm so confused. How did he get this photo? That's kind of creepy. Am I being stalked? Lured into a trap? Maybe make sure you meet in a public place. With a taser. This doesn't happen. I see cute guys all the time. Do you ever see them again? Nope. Dylan waves the paper around. Big Ben, your life just got so easy. Don't get in your head about this. No one wants to binge a Netflix series about someone who does nothing, no matter how cute your smile and freckles are. I stare at the email at the bottom of the flyer. I guess I'm not Friday the 13th's bitch. I'm the boy from the post office. And Arthur is looking for me too. We're not ready to press play on Chucky. Dylan and I are sitting on his bed. He's on his phone and torturing himself by looking through Samantha's Facebook profile. And I can't stop staring at the paper from Dreamin' Bean, which I pocketed from the bulletin board since no one else will need a photo of my face. I've typed the email address into my phone already, but my message is blank. You gotta help me out here, D. What do I do? Just speak from the dick, Big Ben. You're canceled if you don't help me write a useful message to Arthur. Right. Okay. If you're not going to speak from the dick, I think you should speak from the heart. That seems like the next logical step. Speaking from the dick was never a logical step. Says you. If you let Dylan go on long enough, like I do, he eventually hits on the thing a normal person would know to say immediately. Like, how I should just speak from the heart. I keep it really simple and say the thing that I've been feeling ever since I first saw my face on that bulletin board. Is this for real?
Chapter 11. Arthur. You need to chill, Dad says. Put it aside and check in an hour. Yeah, but what if he emails you? Perfect. You don't want to write back right away anyway.
I don't?
No, God no. You have to play it cool, Art. Not too cool, but a little cool. Says the man wearing an apron with a picture of a flash drive and the words, back that thing up. My phone buzzes with a new email notification. Dad makes a grab for it, but I swipe it out of his reach and tap into my inbox. Two more. This blows my mind. The poster's only been up for 11 hours and I've already gotten 16 emails. Saw your poster. I'm not your boy, but good luck. OMG, this is so romantic, and the boy in the pic is so hot. Wow. Nothing from Box Boy, of course, but my heartbeat doesn't know that. It goes haywire every time. I skim their subject lines quickly. The first one says, how old are you? No punctuation or preamble. The second one says, is this real? Come on, I need you. We're making grilled cheese. He holds up a giant knife. Lose the phone, now. Or else you'll stab me? What? He furrows his brows. Then he glances at his knife. Oh, no. I'm cutting the crust off the bread. Go put your phone away, wart.
Wart?
Like the sword in the stone. No?
No.
I tap into the second email from someone named Ben Hugo. I bet it's nothing. It's probably some random fuckboy, but there's this knot in my stomach and I can't seem to untie it. Because what if it's him? I think I'm gonna call you wart until you put your phone away, Dad says. Okay, there's text. There's a paragraph and... holy shit. Hey, so I don't know if this is supposed to be a joke or a prank or what, but I saw your flyer about the post office. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little freaked out. In a good way, though, because I think I'm the guy you're looking for. I hope that isn't creepy. Anyway, hi again. I'm Ben. I just stare at it. I'm speechless. My hands are shaking. I need to... okay. I'm sitting down, on the edge of my bed, phones in both hands. All the words are hazy. I can't quite... Ben. He has a name, and it's perfect. Arthur and Ben. Arthur and Benjamin. I have to write back. Holy shit, this is real! Unless... I stare at the message. Okay. Okay. So, it's technically possible that someone's trolling me, which means I can't get excited. Not yet. I have to test him. Hey, Ben. Ben, so you claim. Thanks for your email. It's very nice to meet you. Please answer the following question in detail. On the day of our meeting at the post office, what type of piercing did the postal employee have? Send. A minute later. Is this a joke? Excuse me? In detail? You sound like my teachers. Smiley face. Okay, that's rude, right? I type quickly. Yeah, this actually isn't a joke, so if you're just here to make fun of me, please don't. Send. But Ben doesn't reply for what feels like an hour. Wart, are you alive in there? Dad, I almost jump. Coming, just... my phone buzzes. You think I'm making fun of you? Well, yeah. Okay, wow, I'm sorry. I'm not, I promise. My stomach flips. Okay, look, do you want to just call me? I think maybe that would work better. He wants me to call him. Like an actual phone call with Benjamin. Ben, who isn't making fun of me. Of course he isn't. He's Ben. He would never. He sends me his number. I click call. And it's ringing. This is happening. This is... Hey. Oh my God. Is this Arthur? His voice sounds muffled. Hold on. I hear shuffling and footsteps, then a door closing. Okay, sorry, it's just, my friend. Anyway, listen, I'm not making fun of your email, it's just, I don't know, it sounded like something a teacher would write. It was cute. Teachers aren't cute. That makes him laugh, which makes me smile. But I can't tell if it's him. I can't tell if Ben's my guy. I was so sure I recognized his voice. I thought I'd know him as soon as I heard it. You never answered my question, I say. Right. I'm not trying to be a jerk, it's just that I've been getting lots of responses from random people, and I guess I need to know it's really you. He pauses. Well, I don't remember the piercing. Oh, but I can send you a selfie if you want. And you were wearing that hot dog tie, and there was a flash mob and those twin guys wearing rompers, and I think I called you a tourist? Oh, and you mentioned your Jewish uncle, Milton. My heart is thudding. Right. Then he seems to stop short. So it's you. For a moment, I'm speechless. I'm kind of flipping out, I say finally. Yeah, this is weird. It's beyond weird. It's astonishing. It's the New York moment of my dreams. The lovers are reunited. Cue the orchestra. Box Boy is real. He's real, and he's Ben, and he found me. I can't believe this. I told you, the universe isn't an asshole. I told you. I guess the universe did do us a solid. No kidding. I grin into my phone. So now what? He pauses. What do you mean? Oh, shit. Okay. Maybe he doesn't want to meet. Maybe this is it. This call. It's the end of the line for us. Maybe he was interested until he heard me on the phone because I talked too fast. Ethan told me that once. He asked me, when do you even breathe? What do I mean? I ask finally. I mean, do you want to hang out again? He says it just like that. Emphasis on you. As if I haven't made that crystal clear. Like, come on, my dude. If I put up a poster to find you, I think you know where I stand. Do you... I start to ask, but now we're both speaking at once. I blush. You go first. Oh, it's just... I almost hear him bite his lower lip. I gotta ask, are those your real eyes? What? Those are contacts, right? I wear clear contacts. So your eyes are that blue? I guess so. Ah, he says. That's really cool. Thank you? He laughs and then falls silent. So, I say. Right. He pauses. So how do we do this? Arthur? Calls my dad. I slide quickly out of bed, nudge my door shut, and lock it. How do we do what? The hanging out thing. Should we... Yeah, I say too quickly. Deep breath. I mean, if you want. Sure, Ben says. Want to grab coffee? Coffee? Really? I mean, technically, yes. I'd grab coffee with Ben. I'd sit in traffic with Ben and hang out with him at the DMV, but this feels bigger than coffee. I'm pretty sure this is fate. Like we were meant to meet, meant to lose each other, and meant to find each other all over again. So this date has to be extraordinary. This date needs scavenger hunts, and carriage rides, and fireworks, and Ferris wheels. God, imagine us holding hands on a Ferris wheel. What about Coney Island? I blurt. What about it? Like, as our first... destination for hanging out. For a moment, we're both silent.
Coney Island?
He asks finally.
It's an old-timey amusement park.
Yeah, I know what Coney Island is, he says.
That's where you want to go?
No, I mean, not necessarily. Not unless you want to. I drum on my bed frame.
I mean, we can.
No, it's fine. I take a breath. Why don't you pick?
You want me to plan our date?
Date. He said it. Holy shit, it's a date. This is legit. He's romantically interested, and I'm romantically interested, which means this is actually finally happening. An actual date with an actual boy. This is possibly, definitely, the number one best thing that's ever happened to me. And I have no chill about it. None whatsoever. But okay, I should breathe. That's fine, I say calmly. Super cool. Mega chill. I shrug. If you want.
Yeah. That works. So, okay, are you free tomorrow at, like, 8?
8 p.m. Yep. I can't stop smiling. I'm just... God, I have a date!
Okay, I think I have an idea, he says slowly. But I'll surprise you. Want to meet outside the subway at Times Square? Main entrance?
That sounds good.
And by good, I mean great. I mean, exquisitely perfect. I mean, I'm living in a Broadway musical. This is an actual Broadway musical! Okay. See you then.
We hang up. And for a full minute, I sit frozen, staring at the screen of my phone. I have a date. A date. With Ben. I'm dating Ben. And dear God... Dear universe, holy fucking shit. I cannot mess this up. Part 2. It's Us.
Chapter 12. Ben. Saturday, July 14th. It's almost time for my first date. Well, first date with Arthur. It's 7:27, and I should start getting out the door. I throw on the black t-shirt Ma insisted on ironing. My parents are standing by the door as Dylan follows me out of my bedroom, where he's been hitting me with decent pep talk the past half hour. He only told me to think with my dick once. Improvement. Dylan circles me while scratching his chin. I sign off on this look. Thanks, I say. Let's go.
Wait, I want a photo of you two,
Ma says as she runs into the kitchen.
Why both of them? Pa asks. Dylan isn't his date.
Ma returns with her phone.
His best friend came all the way from home.
5 blocks, Pa says.
It's Ben's first date. This is an Instagram moment.
Ma's Instagram profile is classic Ma. She heavily filters photos of meals and selfies. She's a total abuser of hashtags. Hashtag it, hashtag is, hashtag really, hashtag hard, hashtag to, hashtag read, hashtag entire, hashtag captions, hashtag like, hashtag this. She noticed when I stopped following her. It's not my first date, I say. If you scroll back 6 months... Ma still has a photo of my first date with Hudson. We had gone to a comedy show that was uncomfortably homophobic. Hudson pulling me into our first kiss was the perfect middle finger to that comedian. And just perfect. Ma stares me down.
You can keep correcting me, or you can take the photo and leave.
Fine. Dylan stands in front of me, wrapping my arms around him prom style. I smile and roll with it.
Perfect.
Ma takes her photo.
Thank you.
She kisses both of us on the cheek, sits down on the kitchen stool, and gets to work on her magical caption.
Have fun, weirdos.
Pa sneaks me some extra cash the way a drug dealer hands off a dime bag. He kisses me on the forehead and hugs Dylan.
Ben, home by 10:30.
Dylan, home whenever the hell you want. You don't live here.
yet. Dylan winks on his way out. I close the door behind us. I'm speed strolling to the subway instead of speed walking because sweating through my shirt will not be a good look. We get to the station, swipe our way through, and I stand at the yellow edge of the platform to see if the L train is approaching. It's not. I'll be 10 minutes late. That's fine. 15 tops. Still not bad for me. There were times when I was 30 minutes late with Hudson. Puerto Rican time is a joke, but it's also a real thing with Team Alejo. I wouldn't have racked up as many detention slips for lateness if it wasn't. For Thanksgiving, Titi Magda always tells the family to show up at 2, knowing we won't get there until 4, which is the actual time the kitchen will be ready. It'll be fine. Are you sure you don't want me to hang around and observe the date? Dylan asks. Good old Digby Whitaker has no problem skipping his movie. I will strangle Digby with arcade tickets if he shows his face. Hot. We're going uptown to Times Square. Dylan is going to see some horror movie while I hit up Dave and Buster's with Arthur. The L train arrives and we ride it to Union Square. We switch to the N train, which is waiting on the platform for passengers transferring. So, Dylan says, a lot of pressure tonight, huh? Literally the last thing I want to hear before a date, before anything. I'm just saying, you guys have this epic beginning. I know that, but I'm trying to be somewhat realistic here. It's weird how 6 days ago, I met Arthur at a post office, and the universe reached out with both arms to pull us together. Still, I never move at this speed. Hudson and I were friends for months before he charmed me into taking it to a different level with him. But Arthur? I barely know him. I guess that's any relationship. You start with nothing and maybe end with everything.
Chapter 13. Arthur. We're minutes away from showtime, and I'm kind of freaking out. How do people even do this? It's not like I'm the first almost 17-year-old to go on a date. People date in Georgia, but back home, that means someone paying for your Zaxby's, not Saturday night at Times fucking Square.
You look great.
Dad catches my eye in the mirror. Untuck your shirt. It's supposed to be like this.
I don't think so.
I peer at my reflection. I don't know what to think. I'm wearing a blue plaid button-down shirt, half tucked in like a J. Crew model. Like a really short J. Crew model. I'm wearing a belt, too, and I iron my jeans. It's highly possible that this is the best I've ever looked. Either that, or the douchiest. It could go either way. Dad sniffs.
Are you wearing perfume?
It's cologne.
Wow, art. So this is fancy.
No, I mean, I don't know. I press my hair down, and it springs back up immediately. I have that messy brown Jew hair, just like my parents. I should dig up some gel. I could go full Draco Malfoy.
You might want to tone it down a little, don't you think?
Dad, it's a first date.
Yes, which is why you should probably tone it down.
No. Okay, I don't think you... I trail off, suddenly realizing I forgot to buy breath mints. And I'm not talking Tic Tacs. I need the hard stuff. I need Altoids. I've already brushed my teeth 6 times, gargled mouthwash, and Googled how do you know if you have old man breath. Seriously, what if he kisses me, and it's like kissing Uncle Milton? What if my first kiss and last kiss are the same kiss? I need a guidebook for this. I need a fairy godmother.
So, where is he taking you?
Dad asks. I have no idea. I mean, I have theories. Not that I'd given this a lot of thought or anything. Not that I was up all night mapping it out in my head, but okay. We're meeting in Times Square, which is the most iconic New York spot ever, so he's clearly going for that big city, big date vibe. It's probably too early in the relationship for a Broadway show, even with a TKTS booth discount, but I could see us doing Madame Tussauds. I would love that. We take tons of pictures, in case we ever need to trick people into thinking we know famous people. First kiss would happen next to my birthday twin and forever president, Barack Obama. Or maybe Ben's going for more of a classic rom-com feel, like a trip to the top of the Empire State Building. I'd be cool with that. More than cool. There's a twist of a key, and our front door creaks open. Anyone home? In Arthur's room, calls Dad. Oh, wow, Mom says, appearing in my doorway. All dressed up for your big date. Oh, I blush to my hairline. It's not... You look great, sweetie. Tuck in your shirt.
Or untuck it, Dad says.
He's going on a date, not binging Simpsons reruns. Yeah, but he's already wearing a collared shirt and cologne. Mom looks pointedly at Dad's sweatpants. Right. God forbid he make an effort. Welp, gotta go, I say loudly. I'm out the door so quickly, it's like I'm breaking out of prison. I'm flushed and practically buzzing with nerves. I don't think I actually breathe until I step onto the sidewalk. I peek at my phone. No text from Ben. But that's good. It means he hasn't canceled. It means I'm walking to the subway. It means I'm riding to Times Square. It means it's 7:30 on a Saturday night, and I'm 4 stops away from the first act of my love story.
Chapter 14. Ben. It's 8:11 when we reach the stop. Dylan wishes me good luck with my future husband as I race half a block down to the main entrance of the Times Square train station. It's a Saturday night in summer, so this block is a nexus of tourists plus New Yorkers who made poor life choices that landed them here. There are police officers and men dressed as the Avengers standing underneath the giant subway sign that's lit up like the billboards for Broadway shows, American Eagle outfitters, and more. And there's Arthur, half the size of the dude dressed up as Captain America. His shirt half tucked in and he's staring at his phone, sneaking looks around every 2 seconds. He's looking for me. Hey, I call. Arthur almost drops his phone. Hey, he says, blushing. Startled, I guess. I go in for a handshake, and he's coming in for a hug. Oh, sorry. I go in for the hug this time, and he extends his hand and almost grazes the Ben Jr.'s. I grab his forearm before he can pull away and shake his hand. Great start. He smells nice, at least. Cologne. I didn't even shampoo. Thought you were ghosting for a second, Arthur says. Yeah, sorry. I'm usually right on time or super late. I thought I had it under control tonight, though, I say. 10 minutes is nothing compared to how late I've been in the past. I thought I was going to have to put up another poster to find you, Arthur says. He cringes and shrugs, which scores a smile out of me. So, where are we going? He talks a lot, which I'm fine with, and he's not good at maintaining eye contact, which sucks because I want to stare at his electric blue eyes. Punch me in the face if I ever compare them to the sky or the ocean, because they're much cooler than that. Just right up here, I say. A vendor on the corner is selling water bottles, candy, and newspapers, and I stop real fast to get Skittles, since they double as an appetizer and breath mint. I'm still feeling burned after green apple is replaced by lime. She was still sexy, though. What? The green Skittle? I've got some really gay DNA, but even I get it. She was strutting around in all those commercials and getting the red and yellow Skittles all riled up. You're talking about M&Ms. Oh, Arthur blushes. The green one riled you up? Not really, but she was sexy in that cartoon way. Like how you know Bugs Bunny or Puss in Boots are probably respectable in bed. I've never given thought to Bugs Bunny or Puss in Boots having sex. And now I'm thinking about them having sex with each other. Arthur bites his lip and shrugs. Sorry for bringing up sexy cartoons in the first 5 minutes of our date, he says. It's obvious I've never done this before, right? Had a conversation? Been on a date. More blushing, like he's going for a world record. I really had no clue until he outed himself. It's not weird, but the pressure keeps on building. You shouldn't feel bad for bringing up sexy cartoons. My best friend Dylan once sent me a link to some Harry Potter porn. You can never read those books the same after you've seen Hermione, Harry, and Ron in a potions lab shouting, "Erectus penis!" Arthur's laugh is way different from Hudson's. Hudson's was harsher and always sounded exaggerated, even when it was real. Arthur's laugh is higher and louder, and I don't know much about him, but I have no doubts his laugh is legit. And I really like the sound of it. We walk past Ripley's Believe It or Not and Madame Tussauds, a tourist trap with wax models of celebrities that people take selfies with and share on Facebook. No New Yorker is ever impressed. Arthur looks excited until we walk past. Next door is Dave and Buster's. Here we are. The arcade? Every dude's wet dream, I say. You been? I've gone a couple times back home. Awesome. I could use some competition. I lead us up the two sets of escalators. I buy my card with game credits, and he gets his own. I would buy his too, but, you know, probably better to establish money stuff from the beginning anyway. In a heterosexual relationship, it's pretty clear who's expected to be the gentleman. It's the gentleman. Things are hazy when you've got two gentlemen. The only person I feel comfortable paying for me outside my family is Dylan, but that's because I know he'll be in my life forever, and I'll pay him back if I ever hit it big. Hudson wasn't a guarantee. Neither is Arthur. There are a lot of fluorescent lights when you enter. A photo booth where Hudson and I kissed behind the curtains and made stupid faces. The bar where we casually ordered cocktails with all the confidence in the world that we weren't going to get carded. Maybe I shouldn't have brought Arthur here, but all the places where I know how to have fun all have memories of Hudson days. If things work with Arthur, we can make this place our own this summer. It's pretty packed, but there are some free games open. What should we do first? Arthur scans the room. Claw machine? Amateur move, Arthur. If you win something early, then you have to carry it around all night. Let's go race motorcycles. We head over. Arthur looks even more compact on a motorcycle. His feet hover above the platform when they're not resting on the pedals. We choose the same track and rev up. I'm really focused because I always play to win. I'm so mad because I just got my license back home when we came up here, and now it's pointless, Arthur says. It's all trains and buses and city bikes. Maybe I'll rent a motorcycle. Arthur is in last place and going the opposite direction. He should not rent a motorcycle. I want to ask him more about Georgia, but I'm in third place right now and have to get ahead. The game ends. You got second place, Arthur says. Congrats. Second place sucks. Oh, you're one of those. Second place is the first loser, right? Sort of. A couple years ago, my mother almost won the lottery. She was off by two numbers. I get off the motorcycle. Not going to tell him how big that jackpot would have been for my family. We were first losers. What would you have done if you won the money? Moved into a bigger apartment, bought a car because, yeah, the trains and buses are fine, but if we had our own car, we could take trips outside the city where the trains and buses don't go. Get one of those memory foam beds. Buy every gaming console. Admitting practical needs isn't first aid talk. And maybe brave my first flight ever so I can go to that Harry Potter park in Florida. I've never been either. Maybe we can go one day, Arthur says. He's beaming, like a first date automatically equals a couple's trip to Universal Studios. Definitely jumping ahead a bit. You need a new wand anyway. What? The wand in that box you were returning to your boyfriend? The box still sitting in my bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. I lead the way to a papa shot. Have you made any friends here yet? These girls at my internship, Namrata and Juliet, Arthur says. They were rooting for me to try and find you. They had suggested Craigslist, but my mom wasn't having it. I stop. You talking about missed connections? Yeah, you know it? Arthur reaches out and touches my shoulder. Wait, did you put up a listing for me? Oh, no, I say. I wish I had lied to spare us from all this blushing. But my dad had mentioned it, and I checked to see if you were looking for me, too. Arthur is smiling. I didn't know you were looking for me, at all. Well, yeah. I run my hands through my hair as I move towards the hoops again. So, motorcycles weren't your speed, but maybe basketball? You just gotta get the basketball in the hoop as many times as possible in 1 minute. He nods, but I'm not sure he's actually heard me. I probably only need one guess to know what he's thinking. We were looking for each other. He went to greater lengths, but hearing I wanted to find him too? Well, we all love having our feelings reciprocated. We play against each other, plus some random kid being shadowed by his dad. Making 2 notes to myself right now. 1, don't talk shit when I beat Arthur and the kid. 2, don't call bullshit if Arthur or the kid wins. The timer starts, and I'm doing okay. 6 shots in 10 seconds. The kid is keeping up, though. 20 seconds in, and Arthur scores his first shot. Yes! He turns to me. King of the world! You're wasting time, I say. He has no chance of catching up, but you can try harder. Or at least stop distracting me. I play to win. Arthur keeps at it until his basketball bounces out of the booth, and he chases it like a bull wrangler. Time's up. 23-1 to 25. That's bull. I don't give props to the kid because he's laughing at me. Maybe an arcade wasn't such a great idea for a first date. My sore loser side is more third date material. Maybe fourth. Arthur returns with his basketball. Shoots it. Misses. Hudson was a better opponent. He would have also schooled that kid. I pop some Skittles. Want to play air hockey? Arthur asks. I promise you'll come in first. Or I'll end up in the hospital when Arthur sends a rogue striker my way. Let's do the claw machine, I say. But we'll make it interesting. He follows me into the corner. We're not playing for any stuffed Pokemon. Screw that. Interesting? Like, strip poker interesting? I hope I'm wearing the right underwear for this, Arthur says. Do you have wrong underwear in general? We all have our laundry day underwear, Arthur says. Truth. Well, your pants are staying on for this challenge. There's a claw machine for jewelry, pretty necklaces, ugly bracelets, fake diamond rings, and so on. Whatever we win, the other one has to wear. Game? Game. I'll go first, I say. Might help him to see someone else play. That jeweled necklace in the corner will go nicely with your eyes. I get moving with the claw, holding my hand on the lever while peeking around the case. This is good. I press the button and the claw reaches down, expands, hits the case, and is thrown off completely. It returns with nothing. This is not my day. I wouldn't say that. Good chance you'll have a wonderful accessory in the next minute or so. Good chance. Arthur points out a necklace with a bejeweled peace sign the size of my iPhone. He gets the claw going and surveys the case from all angles. Crouches, tiptoes, shifts left, shifts right, adjusts the claw, rinse and repeat, and hits the button. The claw scoops up the necklace and deposits it. Arthur retrieves the necklace and smiles.
You won a necklace. Did you just hustle me? He's laughing. Impish. Alien hustler. You chose the game. That's what makes it such a brilliant hustle. I mean, you can't even get a basketball in a big-ass hoop, but you can grab a tiny necklace with a claw. I have a very particular set of skills, Arthur says, quoting Taken, which gets him a dozen cool points. I'm sort of good when it comes to claw machines. He closes the space between us, staring at the floor before looking at me and holding up the necklace. Okay, peace time. He's close to my face, and I think about how kissing him will be awkward. Not the second, though that would be awkward too. Way too early. Talking about the height difference. Hudson and I were on an even playing field, and Arthur is not at my level. That sounds bad. And I hate that I think about this, but I do. I can't help it if height is important for me. The way other people refuse to date someone who plays in a band. Or someone whose geekiness is so strong they can name all the original 150 Pokemon. Arthur puts a necklace on me, and his knuckles brush against my skin. He looks like he wants to kiss me. I can't see him making the first move. Not like at the post office. How do I look? I ask. Like someone who wants gay peace on Earth, Arthur says, and whose breath smells like the wrong green Skittles. Like sexy Skittles? Like sexy Skittles, Arthur says. His shoulders straighten. His neck cranes. Let's grab a drink, I say. We go to the bar. I get water, and Arthur gets a Coke. I'm a little hungry, but I don't want to make this a dinner date because I get uncomfortable eating across from people. Not friends. I can watch Dylan talk with his mouth full for a disturbingly long amount of time. But with Hudson, we only ate at places where we didn't have to sit across from each other, like counters at pizzerias and in our bedrooms while watching movies. It's this strangling fear that we'll be sitting there and we'll run out of something to say and I'll be able to witness the exact moment someone falls out of love with me because I don't have enough substance to keep a conversation alive over a meal. Why would you want to talk to me for the rest of your life? Our drinks arrive. I got this, Arthur says. He pulls out his wallet and hands the bartender some cash. I have that high-powered law firm intern money. Thanks. We cross the arcade floor to the windows. Arthur is staring outside at Times Square like he wants to be out there, getting an exaggerated portion drawn for $30, finding his name on one of those license plate magnets, catching a musical, running into a celebrity, or standing around the sidewalk until he sees himself appear on one of those jumbotrons. Arthur catches me staring at him. Oh, I'm being an obvious New York noob. You are. It's cute. You still have that tourist glow. I can't remember what it's like to be wowed by Times Square. Or anything in New York. What? Let me mansplain your city to you. Arthur spills a little of his soda and rubs the rug dry with his sneaker. He recovers and keeps his cool. You can order food at, like, any time. And if you can't order it, you can find it. These streets will still be busy at 2 in the morning. Movies are filmed in Georgia all the time, but they're not always about Georgia. Movies are made about New York. I could go on. I'm sure you can. You miss Georgia? He shrugs. Yeah, I miss my best friends, Jesse and Ethan, and my house. The guest room we have at home is bigger than my Uncle Milton's bedrooms. That's the New York way, I say. It's sad thinking about how, if we picked up our lives and left behind extended family, ass-smacking Dylan, and late-night food delivery services, I could live in a big house. You excited to go back? Not thinking about that right now.
I'm just basking in that New York magic. He points at me, himself, and me again. The city made this happen. I nod. Good call. I look around at the other games. There's a roulette for tickets, where I once spent a lot of credits, only for someone to come up right after me and immediately win 500 tickets. There's Just Dance, which Dylan usually wins, and I wouldn't be surprised if Arthur has moves. Mario Kart racing is always fun. Are you a Scary Movie fan? I don't totally hate them. So yes. Sure. Great. We go into this booth for Dark Escape 4D. It's a really immersive game that plays on people's fears. The seats vibrate. Air blows at your face. The surround sound makes you feel like a madman with a knife is creeping up on you. And there's a panic sensor to track your heart rate so you can see who was the most scared. What do we have to do to win? Arthur asks. Is it who can outlive the other? It's a team game. We have to survive together. I put on the 3D glasses as we look over the stages. Prison, for those scared of the dead. Death chamber, for those scared of the dark. Cabin, for those scared of pursuit in tight spaces. Laboratory, for those scared of vermin. Is there an option for a large green field with butterflies chasing us? Arthur asks. Maybe in the next edition, but the butterflies will probably be bats, and the green field will probably be a cave. So, not what I said at all. Got it. Arthur puts on his 3D glasses and grabs a blaster with a tight grip. Let's kill some escaped zombie convicts. The game starts off fairly creepy. The prison is only lit with a swinging light bulb as our characters drag their feet into the darkness. A cell door creaks open. But it's just the wind. No. No, fuck no. It's not just the wind. It's an old man with half a face. Why is he in prison? Arthur yells. I don't know, I yell back. Death sentence him! Death sentence him! We shoot up the grandpa zombie and wake up the entire prison and Walking Dead. One lunges at us in 3D and tries to choke me, and Arthur blasts him to death. I shift closer to Arthur, like I once did with Hudson. Our legs are now touching, and he scoots closer too. The vibrations of every step as the zombie convicts charge toward us has my heart racing. How are you? Ah, shit, he's eating my arm. Doing? I ask. Scared, but could be worse. What would be the scariest thing that can pop up on that screen? That fucker in the corner? We see a zombie in the corner eating a guard's decapitated head like it's roasted chicken. Him too. And I don't know. Maybe my parents getting divorced? Oh, is that happening? I think so. I don't know. They're just... Zombie on your right! I let go of the blaster and push my 3D glasses to the top of my head. The zombies have their way with my character. Want to talk about it? It's weird to picture anything bad happening in Arthur's life. He's a high-powered intern at 16, just relocated to New York. Seems really smart. I guess no one's life is perfect, even those who seem to have it all. Arthur pauses. Okay, new scariest thing. Ethan hitting the high note in Music of the Night from Phantom. I'll take that as a no for talking about his parents. Ethan's your best friend, right? Yeah, I think. Arthur turns to me with his glasses still on. I can't see his eyes. Things have changed since I came out. I knew they would, but... I don't know. I didn't expect my best friends to exit stage left. Jessie too? Oh no, she's cool. She's amazing. We've always been pretty extra together, and now we're extra about boys. He finally removes the 3D glasses. Can I ask how out you are? Super out.
In freshman year, I was sleeping over at Dylan's and we were watching The Avengers. He went on about how many crimes he would commit if it meant Black Widow would track him down so he could meet her. I talked about hammering Thor, and he respected that choice. That was that. Now that I hear about Ethan sucking in this apartment, I'm extra grateful for Dylan. Same deal with my parents. I came out over dinner while Dylan was there, and my dad assumed we were dating. I just thought my parents would make a bigger deal about it. When they didn't, I was underwhelmed. I thought it was going to be some major event. Balloons, parade, I don't know. That's good though, right? Yeah. Now I'm glad it wasn't. I wanted it to be normal, and it was. Because it is. You said you're super out. So, everyone knows? Yeah. I put up an Instagram post on Thanksgiving a couple years ago. Said that I was thankful for all the people in my life who are cool enough to love me as I am. And everyone else could unfriend me online and in real life. I had even checked my follower account before posting. Mass exodus? Modest exodus? No exodus, I say. It's surprising. I thought people were going to care more than they did. Can I be honest about something? You are a cartoon porn fanatic, aren't you? Well, yeah, but I'm not an arcade fanatic. I have failed you. This explains a lot, I say. We make a great team, though. No, we don't. We literally lost because we stopped playing midway. Logistics. We put away the 3D glasses and get out. So, no more playing is what you're telling me, I say. I still have credits, and they don't exactly let you get your money back because your date doesn't like arcades. He really is an alien. Now what? I have an idea, Arthur says. He leads me to the photo booth, puts in $5, and takes a seat. Come on. I don't even get the chance to decide if this is what I want. The photo, this moment with Arthur. But I follow him inside the booth because not doing so is awkward and a waste of $5. I sit and all I can think about are the stupid faces Hudson and I made when we were here months ago. But Arthur is not Hudson. And I can't let Hudson spoil any chance at making new memories in old places. Not just here at Dave & Buster's, but everywhere in the city. School, parks, you name it. Arthur is his own person, not a plaything, not a distraction. I gotta do this right. What's our motivation? I ask. We get 3 shots. I'm not throwing away my shot, Arthur says. He looks at me expectantly. Hamilton! Oh, right. People are obsessed with that show. I haven't heard a single song, but it's not something I should bring up now. I have so much to teach you, Ben. A timer counts down from 3. For the first photo, we wing it. Arthur leans against me and we both smile. Super simple. For the second photo, Arthur sticks out his tongue and says, ah, like a doctor is inspecting his mouth. I do an exaggerated wink. For the third photo, Arthur turns to me. My heart is racing because he looks like he wants to kiss. But I'm not there yet. I know this is all really cute, that I'm actually reunited with the boy I met at the post office, but no matter how charming he is, I can't force myself to kiss him before I'm ready. Before I mean it. We just stare and smile at each other when that last flash goes off. We step out of the booth and we each get a reel to keep. We're actually really cute together. That last photo is something, Arthur says. Never mind. Go ahead. Arthur stares at his sneakers. I look way happier than you. It's cool if you want to call this quits. If you're still caught up on your ex, I get it. Well, I don't get it, but I can imagine.
No, I had a lot of fun, but I know I wasn't fully here, I say. That's my fault. I brought my date somewhere I used to come with my ex-boyfriend. I also don't know how much I should really be investing in this since Arthur is just going to leave at the end of the summer anyway. We're both quiet. I really want to see Arthur the way he sees me. It might take time, though. And time isn't really on our side. Arthur sighs and stares at the floor. I screwed up my first date. Go me. No, you didn't screw it up. I'm the one who messed up. I'm always ready to flip off anything good the universe throws my way since I swear the universe hates me. But maybe the universe is just playing the long game. Like everything that's ever gone wrong was so it could be right later. I don't know. So the date was good? Or wrong? The date wasn't wrong. I just think that if the universe is setting us up here that our story deserves a more epic first date. I say, I really want to see you again. Maybe we should have a do-over date. Like, a first date again? Exactly. This time you can plan it. Whatever you want. Challenge accepted. We smile as we shake on it.
Chapter 15. Arthur. Sunday, July 15th. A do-over date. And I'm the one who's supposed to plan it. I didn't even know this was a thing. I thought they were just called second dates. A do-over. But at least I get to see him again, which is convenient, since he's all I can think about. I can't even get out of bed. I'm too busy staring at the photo strip of us together. And yeah, we look a little like Pepe Le Pew and his bewildered cat girlfriend, but we really do seem like a couple. If you saw these pictures, you would not conclude that Ben and I are platonic bros. But the idea of myself as part of a couple is so intensely surreal, I can't even wrap my head around it. I finally wander out into the living room around 10, in gym shorts and glasses. Dad's on the couch drinking coffee with the news on mute. Why are we watching the orange guy? I ask, sinking into the cushion beside him. Dad shuts the TV off. Good morning, Romeo. Wow, please don't. Dad's brow furrows. Don't what? Don't be weird. Uh-huh. Nope, Dad says. This is not my so-called life. I don't understand that reference, Dad. You're not the perks of being a wallflower. I did not just rent the Breakfast Club. What does that... It means chill with the fake teen angst. This is your first date, and I want to hear about it. Don't you think it's weird that we talk about this stuff? Why? Because I'm your dad? Yes. Obviously. He just gapes at me, like he's trying to process that. I sigh. It was fine, Dad. It was an okay date. We have another one tomorrow. Whoa, look at you. Second date. Well, it's not a second date. It's a second first date. We're having a do-over. Dad strokes his beard. That's interesting. I know. But he clearly likes you. I sit up. You think? Well, he wants another date. Yeah. God, I don't know how to do this. How to plan a do-over date? I don't even know how to plan a regular date. Honestly, how am I supposed to know how to pick a destination and set the mood and charm Ben's pants off? Not literally. Kind of literally, though. I glance sideways at Dad. Okay, so if tomorrow's the first date, how do we talk about Dave and Buster's? Do we pretend it didn't happen? Do we call it date zero? I rub my forehead. Do we try to reenact it? Why would you reenact a bad first date? Dad asks. Just relax. This is going to be great. Just stick with the tried and true. Like a dinner. Something basic. Basic. I nod. Okay. Monday, July 16th. Okay. No. I'm not doing basic. I'm sorry, this isn't some random guy. This is Ben. Which is why I'm here on a Monday evening crammed into a corner table at a restaurant in Union Square called Café Arvin. It's one of those places that looks like a nightclub shoved into a warehouse.